Will you pray with me? Lift up our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Luke 24, verse 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In Eastern Europe for many years, and I don't know, it may still be true in some places, Christians who greeted one another on Easter morning, rather than a customary greeting, they would say, the first one would say, "Christ is risen." And the response was, "Christ is risen indeed." So let's do that. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
And so today, we come to what C.S. Lewis called the strangest story of all, the story of the resurrection. All four of the gospel writers contain an account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The details in each vary, and there are different shadings and emphases in each one, but the bottom line is the same in all. And that is that something entirely new in the history of the universe happened on Easter Day. The door of death, which has always been locked from the inside out, was forced open for the very first time. Christ had defeated death. That's what the gospel story says. And what are we to make of that? One Easter Sunday, a long time ago, at a church where I was serving, I had a time with the children as part of the service. And I asked them to tell me why we celebrated Easter. There was not a single child who was able to say what the meaning of Easter was. They tried a lot of different things. Some of them said, "Oh, it's the Easter bunny." They tried the birth of Christ. And the best they could come up with was the death, that he died on Easter. My young associate leaned over to me and said, "We've got some work to do." These were our church children. And why is it so difficult for them to wrap around the meaning of the resurrection? Because it's difficult for us too, isn't it? It's hard for us to understand what occurred and what the meaning of it is. In the gospel lesson for this morning, when the women came to the tomb and ran back to tell the disciples, Luke reports that they were not believed. They thought that it was what? An idle tale. And so it's difficult for us as well. There had been stories in the Bible before about before the resurrection that tell about the returning of life after death. For example, in the Old Testament, Elijah brings back to life the son of a widow. And in the New Testament, there are several stories of Jesus' accounts of bringing people back to life. For example, he brings the child of a widow back to life. He restores life to Jairus' daughter. You may recall that story. And perhaps the most spectacular of all the stories we find in John's Gospel, where the first, where the last sign and wonder which the Lord Jesus performs has to do with his restoring life to his friend Lazarus. It's spectacular because Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. So, the stories of life being restored are not new, but in these cases, this was not resurrection. What we read about in these stories is resuscitation. Resuscitation. And when life is restored to a human body, and these persons in each of these stories will at some point experience death again. Jesus was not resuscitated. Jesus was resurrected. And he was so changed in that event that there were those who were closest to him, his most intimate friends, who did not immediately recognize him in his resurrected form. If we continued reading this story out of Luke, we would have another Easter Sunday story. It's Easter Sunday afternoon where we have an account of two of the disciples. They were not part of the inner circle. One was named Cleopas, and the other was not named. But in this story, on Easter Sunday afternoon, these two disciples are making, by foot, the long journey back from Jerusalem to their home village, Emmaus. And as they are walking the 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they are joined by a stranger. And the stranger talks to them about the fulfillment of the scriptures all the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And when they reach their village, it's becoming evening, and they persuade the stranger to stay for supper. It's not until the stranger takes a loaf of bread and breaks it in their presence that they recognize that it is the risen Christ. So, sometimes the risen Christ in his risen form is not immediately recognized. But the resurrected Christ, unlike those who have been resuscitated, the resurrected Christ will never again taste death. He is no longer subject to the limitations that we have in our human bodies. He is no longer subject to, for example, time and space. In the story of Emmaus, as the stranger breaks the bread and is recognized, he immediately disappears, and simultaneously he reappears, having gone through locked, closed doors in the upper room of Jerusalem, where the disciples are huddled in fear. You see, time and space and material things no longer are relevant to the resurrected body. So, the good news for us, and it's almost too good to be believed, isn't it? The good news is that through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his victory over sin and death, we too have the opportunity for victory. Easter, then, for us, becomes the first morning of eternity, the first morning of forever. Jesus audaciously abolished death and opens the door that has been slammed shut and opens it to whoever would knock. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a hero of the Second World War. He was not a hero in the conventional sense, perhaps, but he was a hero nevertheless. He was a German Lutheran pastor, and he pastored a parish in Germany as the regime of Adolf Hitler was gaining momentum and strength. And when the Second World War came, Dietrich Bonhoeffer and a few other brave Christians took exception to the fact that the German Lutheran Church was being co-opted by the Nazi regime until it actually had become a kind of a state church. And so they broke away and they became what they called the Confessing Church. And they worked to try to overthrow the Nazi government. Now, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, as you might well imagine, was eventually arrested and spent the rest of World War II as a political prisoner in jail. 3 days before the Allies accepted the surrender of Germany, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was executed by hanging. His captors, in order to heighten his sense of helplessness and humiliation, because the day was cold, bitterly cold, they required him to remove all of his clothes so that he walked shivering and naked up to the gallows. And his hands were secured behind his back. The noose was placed over his head. And Bonhoeffer's final words were these: "This is not the end. For me, it is the beginning, the first day of forever." The letters and papers that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote while he was in prison have been put together in a couple of books after his death. And in discussing the resurrection, here is what Bonhoeffer said: "If only a few people really believed it and acted on it in their daily lives, a great deal would be changed. To live in the light of the resurrection, to live in the light of the resurrection, that is what Easter means. And for us, it is the first morning of forever." Now, what does that mean for you and me personally right now in this moment? For one thing, it means that we are offered life right at this moment, right now. It's not only to be the gift after our physical death occurs, but we have been offered the resurrected life right now. We can experience changed existence. Certainly, there will be a time when these physical bodies that we currently live in will wear out. There will come a time when the physical will become so diseased or so damaged or so aged that it can no longer sustain the essence of who it is that we are. And then we will, of course, die, as all things must. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says that the physical body is going to be replaced by a spiritual body. We will not be resuscitated. We will be resurrected. The physical body, as you know, is subject not only to time and space, but also to accidents and illnesses and pain and aging. But the spiritual body will be subject to none of that. The physical body, as some of us are all too well aware, has a built-in obsolescence. It was not intended for permanence. But the spiritual body is crafted for all eternity. We will have a body, and it will be recognizable, but it will be as different from these physical bodies that we currently inhabit as a seed is different from the plant that it eventually becomes when that seed is buried in the ground. Paul uses this as an illustration in 1 Corinthians 15. He says that when a seed is planted, the seed dies to its present form, but what comes from it is something different, something new, something absolutely unexpected, if you were only familiar with seeds, that is. It becomes that which it was intended to be from the very beginning. Malcolm Muggeridge, who is a well-known and much-loved English author from the last century, spent much of his life as an agnostic. An atheist is one who says there is no God. An agnostic is one who says, I don't know. So that's what Malcolm Muggeridge was. And there came a time many years ago when he was about to write a book about Mother Teresa, the sainted nun of the slums of Calcutta. And he went there to spend time with her in order that he might learn about her, that he might get to know her and get to know her work, so that when it came time for him to get his book together, he would be speaking from authority and from experience. Well, the time that he spent with Mother Teresa changed Malcolm Muggeridge's life, and he became a follower of Jesus. Toward the end of his life, here's what he wrote: "As I approach my own end, which cannot now be long delayed, I find Jesus' outrageous claim to be himself the resurrection and the life ever more captivating and meaningful. I hear Jesus' words ring triumphantly through the universe, spanning my own two existences, the one in time drawing to a close, and the one in eternity at its glorious beginning, so that at last I may understand, and understanding, believe. I see my ancient carcass stained and worn like a piece of paper, and myself I see hovering over it like a butterfly released from its chrysalis and ready to fly away. Are butterflies told of their impending resurrection? How in dying they will be transformed from poor earth crawlers into creatures of the air with exquisitely painted wings? And if told, do they believe? I can imagine the wise old caterpillars shaking their heads. No, it can't be. This is a fantasy. It's a self-deception. It's a dream. Similarly, our wise ones. And yet, in the limbo that I now live in between living and dying, I hear those words, I am the resurrection and the life, and I find myself to be carried along on a great tide of joy and peace. Well, what about the tombs that we are currently living in right now? You know, we are Easter people for whom the first day of forever has already begun, and yet, the shadow of death continues to fall on our daily paths. Sometimes it's over things which we have no control. The telephone rings and the voice on the other end says, I'm terribly sorry, but there's been a horrible accident. Or the dreaded pathology report returns and the results are positive. Or perhaps our life work has evaporated because our company has downsized. It may be that long-term relationships have shattered and our hearts along with it. Sometimes the shadows of death that fall across our daily paths are caused by our own choices. We choose to hate instead of love. We choose to hold on to resentments and angers that affect our lives in spite of the fact that they are eating us alive. We choose to flounder in a swamp of self-pity, or even more toxic, in the desert of self-righteousness where we are critical and judgmental of those around us. Anxiety and fear are what we in this fantastic century of ours know best. Wars, rumors of war, violence, from our civilization itself to what we had thought were the most sturdy and remarkable values of the past, everything is threatened and already in ruins. We have heard such tragic news that when we hear good news, we hardly believe it, let alone hear it. But the proclamation of Easter Day is that ultimately, in the long run, in the final analysis, everything will be well. As Christians, we do not say this with the easy optimism of those who have never known days that don't go well, but we say that as those who have faced the cross with all of its horror and pain and obscenity, but have also faced it with its glory. And in the end, it will be God's will, not ours. The end is life. The end is life. His life and ours through him and in him. Existence has far greater depths of beauty and possibility and mystery and blessing than we ever dared hope for. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. There is a man living in our country whose name is Jack Casey. Jack Casey is 86 years old now, but in his youth, he was an ambulance driver and a paramedic. When he was a little boy, it became necessary for 5 of his teeth to be extracted. And the dentist said, oh, he's too little to sit still and sit through it, so we're going to have to put him under a general anesthesia. In those days, the administration of a general anesthesia was done with a mask over your face, and the anesthesia was dropped on the mask so that you might breathe it through the mask. Well, he was just a little boy, and he was very frightened. And the surgical nurse attending had said something that a surgical nurse should never say. She said, "Don't be afraid. I will not leave you. I am right here." And when Jack Casey woke up, the surgical nurse was with him, holding his hand. He never forgot that. He described that as being one of the defining moments of his life. And as he became an ambulance driver and a paramedic, he had opportunity to be helpful to many people. One evening, a large tractor trailer filled with a flammable substance had a terrible accident and flipped over. The flammable material was beginning to ooze out, and everyone knew that a single spark would cause the whole thing to explode like a bomb. Well, the driver was trapped in the cab, and because it was so twisted, there was no way to get him out without additional help. And so they called in the jaws of life, but the delay caused such anxiety for the cab driver that he began to flail around, panic-stricken. Jack Casey crawled up onto the hood of that cab and broke out the windshield and crawled in and snuggled up near the driver and said to him, "Don't be afraid. I am here. I will not leave you." The next day, Jack Casey went to visit the driver of the truck who was now in the hospital. And as he entered the room, the driver recognized him and said, "Man, you are crazy. We could have both been killed. What were you thinking?" And Jack Casey said, "I remembered that there was a time when somebody said those words to me, and so I could do no other than to say them to you." We are beginning today the 50 great days of Easter. Now, the secular culture does not understand that. They think that Easter ends with today. Tomorrow, all the jelly beans will be on sale. But for Christian people, as people of faith, we know that we are beginning now. We have concluded a Lenten journey, and we are now about to begin a journey of Eastertide, which will last for 50 days, starting today, and will end on the day of Pentecost. We will be celebrating the Lord's resurrection as no other time during the year. And we're going to be looking at some of the post-resurrection stories. We're going to be thinking about how that applies to our lives. And we will hear consistently the voice of Jesus as he appears to confused, perplexed, unbelieving, frightened people. "Do not be afraid. I am with you." And indeed, he's going to say, "I will be with you until the end of the earth." Christ our Lord is risen. Amen. Now will you stand as we sing together? and we use together our affirmation of faith. Life in Christ is life eternal. The resurrection of Jesus is the sign that God will consummate the work of creation and reconciliation beyond death and bring to fulfillment the new life begun in Christ. You may be seated.
We'll take time now to celebrate our joys and record our concerns. And I'd like to lead off by again thanking Reverend Jarvis to be here today. And the message touched me, as I'm sure it touched you as well. If you would raise your hand, we do have a list of folks in the bulletin you can review there. But if you have additional concerns, this would be the time you could share them, and also a great day to celebrate some joys. So raise your hand, and Jackie will bring the microphone to you.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Also, this church has prayed for my son, Steve, for several years. He is now retired from the United States Air Force, and he is taking a new job. He will be flying, but he had 28 years in the service, and we've been very blessed. He's spent a lot of time in a lot of bad places, but he has been able, by your prayers and everyone else, to be healthy and ready to go on to something else in his life. So thank you very much. Also, keep in your prayers the Clark family. Barbara is still suffering and trying to pull herself together. I was going to try to bring her this morning, but it just didn't work out. Also, Susan and Mike Spurgeon, Joe and Dick's other daughter, her husband, we were with them this week, and he ended up with a scratched cornea, so he's having some difficulties right now. But thank you for giving me this beautiful year, even though we've lost a lot of people that we loved, and thank you for letting me speak.
I have a joy. Keely Carruthers, the middle school child who has been on the prayer list for what seems like for years, but it's been at least a year and a half, with cancer, taking chemo. She is home, back in school, and of course she's not out of it yet, but I think it's a big joy.
Is Healy?
Keely,
thank you. Okay.
I just want to say what an absolute joy it is to see all of your faces here today. I mean, it's made my year, and I surely hope that we can see you again more often. But what a joyful, joyful service today. Thank you for you being a part of it.
Just want to raise a concern again for the people in Ukraine and the people in Russia who are unable to control their destinies directly right now. Pray for some kind of perhaps a miracle in that situation.
Anyone else? Thank you for sharing.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, sometimes we don't even know what to make of the glorious day of your resurrection. Sometimes in our rational minds, it does seem like an idle tale. It seems like news that's too good to be believed. And yet, we pin our faith on it. We remind ourselves of the man whose child Jesus healed when he said, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." Now, Lord, we want to just honestly bring before you any places where we are still entombed. If there are angers and resentments which we are not able to let go of, we just pray that through your power and your might, you will enable us to cast out those so that we might be free, so that we might experience the resurrected life. If there are worries and anxieties that plague us and bind us up like grave claws, we just ask that you in your power and might will loosen us so that although these physical bodies are not intended for permanence, that the spiritual body that we have been promised may be whole and that we may give glory to you with our lives and with the qualities of how we treat one another. The offerings we have brought today, we dedicate to your glory. And the concerns of our hearts, we lift up to you. We are joyful that Steve has retired from the Air Force. We remember that Haley Carruthers is home and back in school. We remember that with joy. We remember our church family in worship, and we're so grateful that we are able to be together to do that today. We are concerned for Barb Clark. We are concerned for Susan and Mike. We remember with sorrow and concern the people in Ukraine and the people of Russia and people in Afghanistan and people all over the world who experience such hardship and terrible violence as we can only imagine. We just pray for a miracle, Lord. You are in the miracle business, and we claim that for us and for our world right now. May there be peace and healing, and may in some way you allow us to also be makers of peace and healing. And now we give thanks to you on this Easter day, and we thank you for the 50 great days that we are now entering. Be with us through them all. It's in your own name, Jesus, we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Run to tell others that Christ is alive. Spread the message through the land.
Beyond the cross is the message of peace. Beyond death is the promise of new life.
God is our strength and our might. God answers our prayers and equips us for living.
We have been raised with Christ to fuller life. May God's reign be evident in us. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!